Okay, if we can begin, I think members know that originally we had Senator Dibble's bill scheduled for this morning. We'll have it, I don't know, maybe next week. Senator Dibble, would that be a good guess? And so we have a more abbreviated agenda this morning. We'll start with Senate File 347. Senator Sharon.
Thank you very much. This is a bill titled the Uniform Interstate Family Support Act. Update, and it is a bill that this committee heard and passed last year. So we're here again because it did not move forward and through completion, so it gets referred back to the last committee. And so I think we'll just give you a review of what the bill is about. And I could do that, but I have someone with me that I think would do such a much better job. So let me introduce Judge Harriet Lansing, who will present what this bill is about and why we have an interest in supporting it.
It's great to have Judge Lansing here. Have you testified in front of this committee before? I don't think you were here last year, were you?
I was.
You were.
Only briefly. Briefly. So,
Judge Lansing.
Chairman Cohen, members of the committee, good morning. I'm Harriet Lansing. I'm president of the Uniform Law Commission, and I'm here this morning on behalf are in support of the Senate File 347. So you've had the materials, and I know many of you are very familiar with the Act. The Uniform Interstate Family Support Act essentially extends international recognition and enforcement of Minnesota child support orders, and it coordinates with the Hague Convention on the International Recovery of Child Support. As Senator Sharon indicated, this is before the committee last year and passed, and so I'm going to be very brief in terms of my recounting of it. The Act preserves Minnesota's authority on child support issues. We have very effectively legislated around these areas, so we're drawing on years of uniform law in the child support area, and now we're extending it into this international arena. Minnesota's continued collection of federal child support funds would require enacting House File 892, or I should say Senate File 347, within the required time period after the specific legislation is passed by Congress. And that's where we've been in the past in terms of a bit of delay on congressional action. The Act itself is not particularly controversial. In fact, our perception is it is not controversial at all in Congress, and that appears to be the dilemma because when it gets introduced, other provisions get loaded on it, hoping that they will go through with it. So our goal there has been to try to unload some of those add-ons. And Senator Baucus introduced it in introduced the Act in Congress December 19th. It has been read and a couple of times and referred to the Senate Finance Committee there. It's anticipated that they will act on it as soon as they can clear off some of the other things that have been appended to the bill. And I believe Senator Baucus is now trying to append it to put it with the supporting at-risk children, and so we anticipate that it may proceed. I think, as I indicate, once it does proceed, that in order to maintain our child support funds, that enactment will be required. Minnesota is really in a position to act now. The necessary changes have been worked through. The Minnesota State Bar Association and the American Bar Association endorsed the Act, and there's a delayed effect date in the Act that aligns with the federal legislation, so we would be in compliance.
Judge Lansing, let me ask. If the federal Congress were to then proceed with enactment of their statute, what I can't quite figure out, wouldn't that trump any state action so that state action would be unnecessary?
It wouldn't, but that's a very good question, Senator Cohen, because we're really working in an unusual area here because we are connecting with an international treaty. So that the treaty power does have the capacity to trump. But in this particular area, states have been historically very, very active in the family law area. The legislation that we have nationally, which has been uniformly passed, has been observed by all observers as really excellent legislation. So there is a desire to maintain this. The State Department has worked with us to maintain the state provisions. So it has a very interesting effect of maintaining the state's position and input on these very important areas of child support and and custody, visitation, etc. So it would not trump. In essentially what it does is it requires the enactment of it. So in a sense, it's a conditional it's a conditional preemption, so that if we were unable to get across the board enactment in every state, then the Congress might have to do something in order to honor their treaty obligations. But historically, we've gotten all of the states to enact, and so we don't anticipate that that's going to be a problem.
And my wording might have been a little bit wrong. As opposed to Trump, would the federal Congress have the ability to grandfather in? Understand that each state has enacted their own family support, child support statute in accordance with the broader federal guidelines. Would the Congress have the ability simply to grandfather in the states in totality so that you maintain what a state order is but still allow for enforcement elsewhere?
It might be possible, but that really has not been pursued by the State Department or anyone in Congress that I'm aware of, because they value the involvement of the states in this particular area and the expertise as it relates to child support.
Okay. Further questions? And I note on the fiscal note that there's a one-time cost. Is that correct, Senator Sharon?
There is a one-time cost. The state's share of that one-time cost, according to the fiscal note that we had last year, is around $50,625, and that would be an obligation that may change if we have improvements to the PRISM child support system that would not necessarily have to be attributed here. But at this time, my understanding is that that's approximately what will be an obligation at the time of enactment.
And Mr. Nauman just told me that I think I read half the fiscal summary. So, Mr. Nauman, maybe you could just clarify that for myself.
So, Mr. Chair and committee members, I think this has been sort of glanced at because the unknown timing of when this would actually be effective, the fiscal cost is booked at zero at this point. If it became effective, there would be a $50,625,000 cost. But again, because it's uncertain when Congress would, when the effective date of this bill, because of the action of the federal Congress, it's not a bookable cost at this point.
Other questions for Judge Lansing or Senator Sharon? Committee's a little bit quiet this morning. Would anybody like to move the bill? Senator Lurie.
Chair, I move Senate File 347 be recommended to pass and referred to the floor.
Is there further discussion on Senator Lurie's motion? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Judge
Lansing. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Good to see you again.
Good to see you.
The other bill we have on the agenda, Senate File 1952, Senator Metzen, and we have an engrossment being distributed.
thank you,
Metzen.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, this is the 1952 was a state contract bill, the collective bargaining bill that between state employees and management. These agreements have been given interim approval by the Subcommittee on Employee Relations. They provide modest salary increases for our state workers. These employees have stuck with us when we had to adopt tight budgets during the recent Great Recession. In fact, during a three-year period, more than half of the state employees got a 0% raise. They stuck with us during tough times, and in my opinion, it's time to give them a boost. This bill ratifies 8 labor contracts and 3 compensation plans with the state employees. It also approves salaries for 3 agency heads. Effectively, it's a 3% across-the-board increase for each year, July 1st, 2013, and again, July 1st, 2014. They will be paying, employees will be paying an additional 5% to the cost of their health insurance plans and continue to pay the 15% family premium insurance tax. I'll go through now the different areas. Subdivision 1 deals with the Law Enforcement Association, which covers about 717 employees, including the state troopers, conservation officers, and BCA agents. Subdivision 2 is the American Federation of State and County and Municipal Employees, referred to as AFSCME. There's 15,700 folks in this category. Subdivision 3 is the American Federation of State County and Municipal Employees and Radio Communication Operators. This, excuse me, covers about 56 and 225, well, a total of 275 employees. Subdivision 4 is another AFSCME provision. Deals with the correction officers, and that's about roughly 2,000 employees. Subdivision 5 is a professional employees, sometimes referred to as MAPE, with 13,000 professional employees. Subdivision 6 relates to Middle Management Association, and the collective bargaining agreement covers approximately 2,900 supervisors. Subdivision 7 is a commissioner's plan. The compensation plan established terms and conditions of employment of about 1,180 unrepresented employees, including confidential staff, employees who have served with their bargaining units. This plan also covers medical specialists. Subdivision 8 is a managerial plan establishing terms and conditions of employment for about 1,330 unrepresented managers, including deputy assistant commissioners, bureau heads, and division directors. Subdivision 7, or 9, I should say, is a Minnesota Government Engineering Council. This agreement with management labor covers 968 engineers, primarily employed by the Department of Transportation. Subdivision 10, State Residential Schools Education Association. This collective bargaining agreement takes in about 188 in that field. Subdivision 11, Office of Higher Education, Unclassified Employees. There's 45 in this category. Subdivisions 12 to 14, State Pension Fund Director's Salaries. These three subdivisions ratify pay increases for the directors of the Minnesota State Retirement System, Public Employee Retirement Association, and Teacher Retirement Association. These increases are comparable to the increases implemented by the governor for the state agency heads. In closing, these contracts have been negotiated, I believe, in good faith by Minnesota Management and Budget and the employees' unions. Again, it was a bargain for in good faith. These contracts and plans provide, again, 3% a year for 2 years in the going forward. So personally, I'd like to thank state workers for helping the state get through the difficult time. They forego their raises to help to balance the state budget, and it helped us get the state get through a tough period. So I think it's time to give them a boost, and that's what this does. It's again, it's 3% a year for the next 2 years. And I'll repeat that it was almost 3 years when most of the state employees didn't get a raise. Some got some step increases, but 50 to 60% got zero for 3 years in a row. So now hopefully we're past that recession period. And I believe to keep qualified people around here, we have to give them a little boost. And I think today's the time to approve that in this committee, Mr. Chairman. Okay. So I've got Mr. Hubinger here with me if you have questions, or I can answer, or Mr. Hubinger can. But I believe, again, this is the right thing to do.
And Senator Metzen, several of the subdivisions deal with the increase of the salary of the executive directors of the retirement funds. I assume that's in accordance with the legislation we passed last year that raised executive branch salaries?
Yeah, that's correct. You're talking about the deputy commissioners or all of them?
It indicates the director of MSRS, PRA, and TRA.
Mr. Chair and members, the bill ratifies salary increases for the directors of the three statewide pension funds. Yeah, the process for those directors who are appointed by those boards did not change in the legislation that was adopted last year. Those salaries have to be proposed by the boards and then reviewed by the Subcommittee on Employee Relations and then ratified by the legislature. That same legislation gave the governor the authority to set the salaries of commissioners that the governor appoints anywhere within the legislatively approved ranges, and the governor did that.
Mr. Chairman, that's probably when we should have done that portion of the bill, but we didn't do it, so now we're fixing that up for the deputies.
So what types of increases are encompassed by this?
In that one, it's 5 and 5.
For each of them?
Yeah.
Is that correct? And when was the last time there had been an increase in those offices?
In those areas, I don't know.
Mr. Chair, the last increase for the pension fund directors was in 2008. Commissioners of larger agencies, their salaries have not increased since 2000.
Right.
That's what it's been, Mr. Chairman, as you can tell. It's been a while. And
Senator Engelbrechtson.
Questions. The 3%, again, I understand that. Is this retroactive pay?
Begins July 1st of 2013.
So it will be they haven't received this, so it will be retroactive. They will receive retroactive.
Yeah, excuse me, that's correct.
Yes,
you're
okay.
Absolutely right. Thanks the other question,
Senator, I have is you talked about the insurance they're going to cover 5% of the increase. What is the increase?
I'm not aware of that, but I know they're picking up the 5% additional, so they are kicking in more, but if you have that.
Mr. Chair and Senator Ingebrigtsen, premiums increased 4.4% in calendar year 14 and are projected to increase 3.8% in calendar year 15.
So near 8%, and the state is, excuse me, Mr. Chair, near an 8% increase, the state's going to pick up 5 then, is that, or less than 8%, and they're going to pick up 5. That's all right.
Always pick up 5.
That's, Mr. Chair, that's about it.
My other question is the total cost. Could you or Mr. Nauman probably go over that? What is this an accurate totals here on our page? Do we have a fiscal note? Or totals per year and what the total cost is for it.
Mr. Nauman.
So, Mr. Chair and members, members will recall that we enacted a budget in the last legislative session for the executive agencies, and this bill by itself doesn't make any changes to those appropriations. So the agencies will manage to these numbers based on the agreements. And Mr. Hoobinger has any.
So this has already been. This has already been.
Chairman, Mr. Nauman is absolutely right. These numbers are already paid for, so to speak, in the last budget. So it's not something we haven't looked at. So we're satisfied. So thank you.
Senator Nauman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Metzen, I'm looking at the document, Subcommittee on Employee Relations, dated March 4th, three pages in. There's a sheet that talks about state employee salary settlements. And when I look at that, there's a number of bargaining units that there is no information listed. The Minnesota Nurses Association, Minnesota Law Enforcement Association, three in a row involving universities and state colleges. There's a managerial plan, commissioner's plan, Office of Legislative Auditor, and MNsure. I assume that those bargaining units have either been settled or negotiations are ongoing. Could you provide us with a little bit of information as to what is happening with those bargaining units?
I think we've completed. I'll let Mr. Hoobinger answer that, but does this leave any unsettled? Or? There are a couple still in negotiation, if that's your question. And what can you identify what they are?
Mr. Chair and Senator Nauman, the Nurses Association contract negotiations are going to arbitration between the union and MMB. The Law Enforcement Association negotiations are in the mediation process, and their next mediation session, I think, is at the later end of this month. The contracts with the three faculty organizations at MNSCU are in process. There's some discussion about appropriation sufficiency to allow them to enter into agreements that work for the faculty. And I think there's some discussions in the higher ed committees about those questions.
And Mr. Chairman,
Senator Nauman,
and the Office of Legislative Auditor and MNsure, what is the status of those?
Mr. Chair and Senator Nauman, the plan for the Legislative Auditor is tied to other plans, and so there hasn't been a need to update that plan since it was adopted about 3 years ago. The legislature adopted a plan for a MNsure in the last session, and there hasn't been a need to make any changes to that plan at this point.
One final question, Mr. Chairman. With respect to these various bargaining units that have not yet been resolved, have similar offers been made to them as are contained in this bill?
Mr. Chair and Senator Nauman, we haven't been involved to that level of detail in the contract negotiations. There's someone here from MMB that might be able to comment on that for the two contracts that they're responsible for. I'm not sure if anyone here is from MNSCU Labor Relations that would be able to answer that question for those faculty contracts.
Yeah, I was just curious as to whether or not this particular contract we are going to be asked to ratify calls for this 3% increase, and I'm just curious if these other bargaining units have been had that offer made to them and have turned it down, and that's why they're going to mediation and arbitration.
I don't know.
You don't know the answer. Okay.
I don't know the answer.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Other questions from Senator Westrom.
Mr. Chair, Senator. I won't swear again. health care insurance, it looks like the state, they are going to pay 5% of their health insurance costs now. Am I reading that right? And then on families, they will continue to pay 15%. The state pays 85% of the family coverage, and right now 100%, but it will be 95% under this contract.
Chairman, Mr.
Hoobinger.
Is that right?
Mr. Chair and Senator Westrom, that's correct.
Okay. And so the family hasn't changed. 85% is paid by the state, 15% by the employees.
Mr. Chair and Senator, that's correct.
And it looks like about half the employees are eligible for step increases as well as the 3% across the board increase, 3% each year if I'm reading this right. But that's in addition to the step of an average of 2.75 to 3.5%. Is that right?
That is correct, Mr. Chairman. And
so, Senator, do those
eligible? What, most of them or some of them? About half are eligible
for step increases. The ones that aren't, as I read are at the cap already. Is that right?
That's correct. In their category, they're in. Yes, until they get
So anybody eligible for step increases would be looking at about a 6% increase each year.
That's correct.
Correct. Thank you.
And that'd be about, Mr. Chairman, about half of the employees.
Sure.
If they make it or if they get it.
Follow up, Mr. Chairman, Senator. The step increases, can you describe a little of that? Is that automatic because of years of service? Is that the main driving factor?
Mr. Chairman, I let Mr. Hubinger answer that one.
Hubinger. Mr. Chair and Senator Westrom, a step increase is only awarded to an employee after they have received a performance review that indicates that their work is at the level of satisfactory or better, and that has to be done on an annual basis.
Okay, so Mr. Chairman, Mr. Hubinger, there's an evaluation that they have to be evaluated in addition to putting in the time of service, if I understand
that,
what you're saying.
Is,
right.
Mr. Chairman, that is correct.
Very good. Thank you.
You don't just get it. You have to be evaluated and reach a certain criteria.
Thank you.
Further questions from the committee? Anybody wish to take any action on the bill?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Pappas.
I would move Senate file 1952.
Senator Pappas moves that Senate file 1952 be recommended to pass. Is there further discussion on the motion? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
Opposed.
Opposed.
Motion carries. Thank you,
Senator
Mason.
Thank you very much, and thank the committee members.
All right,
got here just in time.
So our next meeting, members, is next week on the 11th, Tuesday. And unless anybody has anything. And I'm sorry, that'll be a little bit later at 10 o'clock. So unless anybody else has anything further, committee's adjourned.